If you want to turn to Joshua 3 and 4, in lieu of time, and I promise I'm going to get you out of here before 11:30, we're not going to read chapters 3 and 4 that I want to cover today. I'm basically going to try to sum that up in my own words. So my encouragement to you is that you would just pay very good, close attention. And then this week you can go home and read it, or hopefully you've already read 3 and 4, and hopefully you're reading the book of Joshua as we study this. But it is a powerful book, and Steve asked me, as he oversees the teaching, that I would just kind of relate the journey that Israel had through Joshua and in the place at the Jordan with some things here at Hope, and that's what I want to try to do. But before I do that, we're going to kind of play an association game, sort of like the psychiatrist who gives you the ink blot, and you say first thing on your mind, okay? So I'm going to show you a picture, and you tell me the first thing on your mind, okay? This is Katrina. What's the first thing you think about?
Desperation.
Hang on. What next? Good words, okay? They kind of fit here. Jeremy, throw these words up. Hurricane, destruction, devastation. Just automatically we think of all that transpired within that. Here's another thing to think through. Statue of Liberty.
Freedom.
Hope. Jeremy, put it up. Freedom. Naturally, we think of that. France, you may think of some other things. But when you think of that, man, it hits you smack in the face. Next one, Schuylkill Expressway. Sure kill. What else? I didn't catch that, Howie. Migraine headache. That's a good one. I didn't put that one down. Traffic. Schuylkill Expressway. That's what we think about. What do we got there? Okay, you got them right. All right. Next picture. The Jordan River. What do you think about? I didn't expect too many answers because some of you, well, that doesn't hit me too much. I don't live there. I don't know a lot about it. That's why I'm going to teach you about the Jordan River. Thank you, Jeremy. The Jordan River played a huge role in the Old Testament. From the time of Abraham, Abraham and Lot split at the Jordan, and Lot picked the good Jordan Valley. We have Naaman, who was healed by Elijah, went down 7 times, was healed after the 7th time in the Jordan. The axe head floated on the top of the Jordan River by Elisha. Elijah and Elisha experienced the Jordan River dividing, similar to what Joshua and the Israelites are going to experience. But if you would say to those in Old Testament history, and even today, Jordan River, they would say this, death. It has the nickname called the Descender. The reason being is from the snows of Mount Hermon all the way through into the Sea of Galilee and all the tributaries, it would flow into the Jordan and then into the Dead Sea where it would end at a ferocious rate. During the thaw and in the springtime, the Jordan River was a very dangerous place to try to conquer. And that's where exactly the time that God has brought the people of Israel to the Jordan River. Now, let me just give you a quick synopsis of the story here at the Jordan River. Tim has shared about Joshua personally being encouraged by God that you're the man. And the spies going to Rahab, beginning to encounter the city of Jericho as soon as they cross. That would be the city that they first conquer and how the spies went and checked out the land, and Rahab, if you were here last week. Now we're at the point where they're going to cross the Jordan River. And I, as I studied this, I first just thought about how does God view this? And I just want to share my heart on that. Here was a God who has just done so many tremendous things for his people, the Israelites. Tremendous miracles. Wonderful provisions that God has daily provided for his people. And basically the 40 years in wandering was because they rejected that provision and care. They basically said, "You will not be our God." Very hard for the Lord to experience that. Tim shared from his lesson with personally having intimate relationship with God that if we seek God with all our heart, we will find him. That's God's heart. God is telling us, "I want to have a relationship with you." But most of the world says, "No way." If you remember, even back in the time when Alan taught that verse from Chronicles, God looks to and fro looking for people to follow him. And basically, 40 years, there was a nation that did not follow him. And God says this about it: because of their disobedience and lack of faith, they would not enter into the rest that he wants to provide for you and I. That's just a sad heartache story of a people who rejected the living God. And we have things to learn from that. But God now has a nation where only Joshua and Caleb are the only living adults left that crossed the Red Sea from Egypt, from slavery, and wandered the wilderness. And God has a new generation to expose his love and desire them to follow him. And they do a pretty good job through the book of Joshua. So here's where we enter the story. And God gives them basically three instructions before they cross. And that's what we're going to look at today. The first, before they even cross, it says, God told Joshua to have the people consecrate themselves before me. And we're going to look at that. Then as they crossed, in the process of crossing the river, it was to look at the tabernacle, to keep an eye on God all the way through as the priest held that on their shoulders in the middle of the river. And then when they get to the other side, God says, "Now, because you have seen my wonderful works, I want you to do one more thing. I want you to build a memorial for me. I want you to take one person, one man from each tribe, and out of the River Jordan, I want you to pick up huge rocks, carry them on your shoulders, and go over to the other side and build a memorial so you will not forget me." That's the three things we want to look at today. That message is still the same for you and I. The word consecrate is translated in the New Testament to become holy. If you remember when Jeff taught on 1 Peter, he talked about that verse that said, "Be holy as I am holy." To be set apart. Not to be sinless. It's not what God is asking when you hear that word holy. To be set apart. In the Old Testament, God set things apart that were absolutely to be sacred in spite of all the common things. You see that in the tabernacle when he builds it with Solomon and all the things in as they brought to worship with the candlesticks. All those things were to be wholly set apart. They're special, purposely designed for me and me only, said God. When we get to the New Testament, God wants us to understand that we are to set everything apart. The sacred and the secular come together. There's no distinction. And God wants us to learn to live this way. So that what we can learn, as the nation of Israel did, before God wants to do anything great in us and through us and for us, we need to understand that we are to be a holy people, set apart in every avenue of life. My question to you and I is, what are you doing with that? How do you do that? If you would just make a little evaluation of your life, and you would ask this question, how do I set my life apart for God? I hope you would be able to give some answers to that. Let me just grab some water here. My encouragement for you and I is that we really understand that if those of us who are following God through Christ, His church today, we need to set our lives apart. When we wake up, you need to remind yourself, I'm not my own today. Corinthians says, I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I'm to glorify God in my thoughts, in my words, and my actions. That's what God wants for us. Now, if we're honest, you and I don't always do that. But that's part of the Christian life, recognizing that, bringing that to God, confessing that, and then moving right back in to setting our hearts apart to Him and for Him. Lord, let me be a person, a man and a woman today, who sets my life aside for You and You only, so that everything I do, whether it's work in the home, working at the office, or wherever I work, school, recreation, everything I do, I wanted to do so that my thoughts are always on You, that I speak things that'll honor You, and do things that'll glorify You. That's at the heart of what God wants for His people. And He had them do that before they crossed the Jordan. Then He wanted them to understand this. And if you want to just look at Joshua 3, I want to read this verse to you. I'm going to start the second part of verse 3 here, when it says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. God wants us to understand this. In our journey in the Christian life, every day we have no idea what lies ahead of us. We had no idea what will transpire this past week. Just tremendous, tremendous hard things to endure. And if we didn't keep our eyes focused on the Lord, it could absolutely overtake us. How saddened we were when we saw that God chose to take Kimberly home, but then to have something almost in the same order happen to Gail again. We just said, oh Lord, we don't know what to do here. We are lost. We need You. And that's what God will honor in the midst of that. We need to trust in His absolute goodness in the midst of this. You see, God had the people of Israel camp for 3 days at the Jordan during the flood period. Now, I'm sure the two spies were in great shape and they were able to cross the Jordan. And they were able to cross back. But not wives and elderly people and children. No way would they cross. God got them to the place that they needed to understand we are absolutely helpless to achieve what You've calling us to do, Lord. We need You. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, for us, that is a good place to be at. When I get to the place that I think I can handle it, and maybe can, I will be in trouble. Because God will say, as He did to the Israelites, go ahead. Try doing your own thing. Try living for me without my power, without my direction. You and I are foolish when we choose those paths. God is saying, follow me. Watch the ark, so that when the priest picked up the Ark of the Covenant and carried it into the river, the moment their foot stepped into the water, God, not like the Red Sea that divided it, he stopped it. It went all the way back north up to the city of Adam, which is about 16 miles. Completely had a wall stop, and everything flowed through into the Dead Sea, and the Jordan River became dry, and they marched across. What's neat about this, if you read ahead, similar to Rahab and Jericho, they began to see all the things that God was doing in midst of the Israelites and his power. And this was another sign that the people saw and trembled at the power of God. And that is, that same power is available to you and I if we follow him. So then that the priest stepped into the Jordan, walked to the middle, and stayed there. And everyone was to keep their distance as they walked through, but to keep their eye on the presence of God. That's what it represented. Powerful teaching for us to understand. In the desert, in the wilderness, the 40 years, the way God provided direction for them was cloud by day, fire by night. Visible. They were able, which blows you away, they were able to see the presence of God with their eyes. We can't do that. For the people in Jordan and the Promised Land, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. You and I don't have that. And somehow we think in our own thinking, boy, if only I could see God. That would do it for me. Give me a light, Lord, cloud, a box that shows your power. Tom said it this morning. We have so much more than what the people of Israel had. Because of the death, burial, and resurrection and our faith in the work of Jesus Christ, we have been given the Holy Spirit and his word to tell us where to go every step of the way. Do you believe that? I wholeheartedly believe that. This word is a treasure beyond measure because it teaches me who my God is, tells me of his love, tells me that he will always be with me, that he will never forsake me, even in the face of death. See, that's hard for you and I to experience these hardships. But God says, hang on, I'm doing it, Peter, so that your faith, which is more precious than gold, will be built up and you will rely and trust in me no matter what. That's what God is doing and wants to do in your heart and mind. And we have got to, by faith, believe that the presence of God is here. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Lord. And then third, after we set ourselves apart to God and we keep focus on who he is, God so wisely wants us to make a list. To put in our mind's eye or in a physical way memorials of his goodness. I was so encouraged by Tim sharing his Septembers with us. Absolutely, he must have been journaling down. I'm not a journaling guy. I should be, I guess. Just not who I am. But I can remember many things. So I'm journaling up here, but Tim wrote them down so that when this September came, he had a way to look back and see the goodness of God. So that as he moved forward, he could remember God's been good in the past. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll be good in the future. Interesting, and some commentaries made this statement, when they took the 12 stones out of the Jordan, took them to the other side, and built them there in Gilgal, Joshua himself took 12 stones out of the Jordan and built a memorial. Now, some of the commentators I read said, well, God must have told him this. I disagreed with some of the commentaries. Is that allowed to do? No, I think because of the courageousness, the heart that Joshua had, never becoming bitter in the wilderness and seeing God's hand now, it was a personal way for Joshua to praise and honor God himself. Not only God, well, we put 12 stones over there so the whole nation could see. I'm going to personally put 12 stones here in the middle of the river so that I will remember what you've done for me. My suggestion for you and I, let's make personal memorials and corporate memorials, congregational memorials. God is doing a work in our church that we must not forget. As leaders, we have to, whatever leadership you're in, you and I are going to get discouraged. It's hard work living for God. As Tim mentioned, the Promised Land wasn't a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the Christian life, where there is rest for us in God, in Christ Jesus. But it's a battle, day in and day out. And if we fight the battle, God will give us the victory. You know what I thought in this, and you know, it's a great story that we're going to go through this as we learn the Battle of Joshua, but I'm going to be teaching on the sin of Achan after the defeat of Ai. That was the only defeat they had through the ministry of Joshua. Joshua had victory after victory because of his faithfulness to God. Then I thought about Jesus, who Joshua is a picture of, even his name, Yahshua. It's a picture of Jesus. And even at the cross, Jesus never, ever was defeated. That was the greatest victory. And if you and I can learn to live in the presence of God, allowing Him to work in our hearts and building memorials, God will give us victory in this Christian life. It won't always go the way we want it to go, but we can be confident that God will work His work in us and through us for His purposes. Now, there's two memorials I want to share with you that I just thought were neat that God is doing here at Hope, and there's many. You know, if you don't know some of the history here at Hope, just right off the bat, this building was given to us as a gift for how much? $1. They didn't have dollar stores back there, but $1. What a wonderful miracle of God's provision for us. But that's monetary. There's been so many things that God has allowed us to accomplish here at Hope. One of my stories personally, and this is a personal memorial as I read this, and I didn't make the connection until I read this, the story about the Israelites being at the Jordan River. But prior to starting Family Bible Church almost 30 years ago, and now becoming Hope, I was one of the people that God used in such a way to begin to start this. But that started out of my wife and I, LaWayne, praying for 1.5 years whether we should leave the church we were attending. God, what do you have for us? And absolutely, hear me on this, absolutely, we never had in mind of starting another church. It was to just find another church. But we prayed for 1.5 years, and I share this with LaWayne, and she remembers it as vividly as I do. We got our answer. One Sunday afternoon, we went down to the little stream nearby our church that I was attending, and we prayed there, Lord, here we are again. Should we leave? Should we go beyond where we're at? And God absolutely met us there in that hour to say, Chick, it's time to move on. I had no idea that it'll be part of what we have here. But I look at that and I say, here they are at the river's edge, consecrating themselves, saying, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. That has been a memorial for me that God was faithful in leading me. And I'm sure you have your own stories how God led you here to Hope. All wonderful stories of the precious consistency of who our God is. He leads us when we follow. And then I thought, okay, Lord, other things you've done in our past. And I could not help of think of this one, which has really has been pretty recently. There are many memorials, personally and corporately as a congregation, that we can look back at and see God's sustaining hand. But one that's fresh in my mind was just a few years ago, was the time that Dom came to me as a friend, as a brother, and said, I'm not sure if I should leave my place of employment. I was the vice president of that company, doing very well. Had a tremendous, responsibility, but with the MS, it was taking its toll. So we talked about it, prayed about it, and in that leading, and we didn't know why, there was many questions, but Dom really believed that God was leading him along to the place that he said, you know what, I do believe it's time to step down. Very hard decisions, but the neat thing about this is he sought God. He was setting himself apart. God, I'm yours. Whatever you want. In the midst of that, he moved on. But the timing is a thing of where we build our memorial stones. Because it was the time when Greg Austin, our pastor here, believed it was time to move on. And in those years since that time, if we did not have, and I don't want to pat him on the back or boast him up, I say this with all sincerity and love and devotion to my friend Dom, but to my glorious Father who provided this. God provided Dom for such a time as this, that here's a guy who, and we worked through the whole thing of full disability and how that worked, and that was a challenge, but God provided that so that he could step down from that job and so humbly stepped into a position here at Hope that he would be able to serve you and I without pay. That's marvelous. That's a wonder that God has worked in his heart and is providing for him and his family. That is a memorial that I know God is at work here. So where do we go from here? Where's God leading us? We're trying to establish that. We have a high school that needs to know about the love of Jesus. We're working and building a team so that we can have an impact on orphans and foster kids that don't have a home or have a place where they can see the love of God. Many ministries we're trying to do here. And you know, if you've been in some of those leadership meetings, we have said we cannot do everything. Lord, be specific to us. We must only accomplish the things that you want us to do. But God is doing a work here at Hope. And it's our desire that he would get the glory and the praise for that. So then, what you and I need to do is to set our lives exclusively for him. Romans 12:1 says this, I urge you, brothers and sisters, that you present your life as a full sacrifice to me, which is your reasonable service. Don't live for yourself. You will fall short. You live for me, and the glory will be fantastic. Let's live for God personally. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's live out the directions that he has here for a church, that we would love him, love each other, and love those who do not know him. And then we'll start to see him work marvelous things so that we'll build memorials. We'll build memories of the goodness of God. We already have so many. But I believe God has more for us to build, more for us to accomplish, and we want to do that for his glory. Do you? I'll say it again. If you do, say amen. Do you?
Amen.
All right. We have no idea what God wants to accomplish through us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you were faithful to the Israelites, even when they weren't faithful to you. You desire to have a people who trust you and follow you. Lord, our cry is that we would be those people, that we would be a church that follows you wholeheartedly, even as we thank you for Tom coming on board and with his heart for you, helping to lead us into those places where we see you work, and we see you do great things. Lord, bless us as a church only through our obedience, our holiness before you, Lord, keeping our eyes fixed on you. We praise you for all that you're going to do in the name of Jesus. Amen.